welcome to a brand new episode of Wrestling with Siblings. I'm your host, Araceli, and this is my co-host, Armando.
Hi, guys. I'm Armando, and welcome to Wrestling with Siblings.
All right, let's get started with Monday Night Raw. None other than the Raw Women's Champion, Asuka, opens up the show. But before she can say anything, the brand new Women's Tag Team Champions, Sasha Banks and Bayley, decide to interrupt, and they come out and they're like, you know what, we are the new champions. They're cocky, they're confident, they know exactly what they're capable of and what the competition is on both Raw, SmackDown, and NXT.
Yeah, and pretty much coming over to Raw, not only to address everybody that they were the new Women's Tag Team Champions, but also to base a new challenge to pretty much the Iconics. Why? Because the Iconics, they throwed them last year at WrestleMania. Not last year, at New York, I'm sorry.
Right before that, though, Asuka's like, get out of my ring. This is my ring. And of course, they're stepping into Raw territory at this point. And Charlotte comes out and she's like, you know what? I understand what you guys are doing. I understand why you're out here. You're out here because you guys are the new champions. You guys are celebrating. But you know what? You won't be celebrating for long. And that made me think that Charlotte at some point is trying to go for the tag team titles.
Definitely. And Charlotte, if she's really trying to go for the tag team title, she's going to have to find a partner. And it's going to be very interesting who she would partner with. And again, Bayley and Sasha, what doing what they do best. And that's going to each and every single brand proving why they are the champions.
Yes. And as Armando mentioned, the Iconics are a huge target. They come out and they're like, you know what? We're super confident because why? We're going to get a title shot opportunity at Backlash. So at Backlash, it will be Sasha Banks and Bayley versus the Iconics versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross for those women's tag team titles. Very, very interesting. I mean, the Iconics are probably at the best that they've been in their career.
Not only that, and I believe they're also the favorites. Why? Because they like to take advantage of situations like this, especially in triple threat matches. As you guys know, triple threat matches are a huge disadvantage for the champions from the get-go. They don't have to get pinned to lose, and that is the case with Sasha and Bayley.
And we know that the Iconics are the ultimate opportunists. We know they like to take advantage of situations like this, but also keep in mind, so was Alexa Bliss. And you cannot underestimate any of these teams going into Backlash. However, we will get more into predictions later on. But a mini brawl breaks out and everybody starts fighting, and Charlotte Flair is the only one standing tall. Therefore, this leads into Asuka and Charlotte versus the Iconics versus Sasha and Bayley.
Pretty much a little warm-up match for the Iconics and for Bayley and Sasha Banks. Kind of a little bit of what they're going to expect in that triple threat match that they're going to have this Sunday at Backlash.
Yes, and right off the bat, Charlotte and Asuka are the team that are at the biggest disadvantage. Not because of their experience, not because of their talent, simply because their egos clash. And Asuka doesn't like Charlotte. Charlotte doesn't like Asuka. And again, it's those egos. And the two with the biggest advantage are definitely Sasha and Bayley and the Iconics.
Falling back a little bit on Asuka and Charlotte, yeah, it's the egos, but it's the fact that they're so competitive in the ring. They both want to be one step ahead of them. I'm sorry, one step ahead of each other, and they both want to be the best. So that's why they clash and they bump heads. And keep in mind, Asuka hasn't been able to beat Charlotte in the singles competition.
Yeah, they bring the best out of each other and they've taken each other to the limits every single time we've seen them face each other. But we'll get into them a little bit later. Hitting the Iconics, I think the Iconics are at the peak of their career right now. I think they left, came back, completely reinvented themselves. And I think now they take each other a little more serious. But I feel like now, as a competitors, they've completely evolved. And I think if there's anybody that could potentially dethrone Sasha and Bayley, I do believe it's the Iconics.
I agree. The Iconics evolved. They're more experienced. They're more mature now. But not only that, this time off that they had, really, they really took it to their advantage. For what? Because they developed their characters. They improved so much. And not only that, they studied the women's division so good that they know what to expect.
Their in-ring performance has gone over the roof. We've seen that over the last couple of matches that they've had. And we also seen the strategies that they're trying to use. You know, they're sticking together. They're isolating their opponents. They're frequently tagging in and out. They know how to stay on their opponent now. And them being focused is a great, great opportunity for them going forward.
Not only that, but they're also doing whatever it takes to win. And at that point, that makes him even more dangerous. Hey, you got to do what you got to do sometimes to get that win. And that's what the Iconics are doing perfectly right now.
And Sasha and Bayley, I mean, this is probably the most solid team out of everybody here. And out of that Backlash match, that is the most solid team. However, if something minimal does happen, we have seen Sasha and Bayley kind of just, I don't want to say not like each other, but kind of just disagree on certain little things. And I think if that happens at Backlash, it's going to be a huge problem because they could potentially lose.
That's the only defect that I see in that tag team between Bayley and Sasha. Like you said, there might be some conflict there a little bit because they disagree on something. You know, possibly Bayley could tag Sasha when she doesn't want to get tagged. So stuff like that may, you know, end up costing up, but other than that, they look pretty solid. They're also the favorites, so it's going to be a very interesting tag team match that they're going to have.
100% agree with you on that one. All right, let's move on to Rey Mysterio. He basically has an interview, and I'll keep it very, very short for you guys. He's sitting there, and obviously he says his eye is healing, that he's currently not cleared to compete. He doesn't know when he will be cleared to compete, but he does make it very, very clear that when he comes back, he will make Seth Rollins' life a living hell.
And I can see why, because of the injury that Seth Rollins had to cost him throughout his career.
Yes, and Seth keeps picking Rey Mysterio's bones. He's like, you know what? We had to sacrifice you to for the greater good to get to where we are now. And I think Seth wants to be the guy that holds the title of, you know what, I put Rey Mysterio away. I was the one that retired Rey Mysterio. I mean, Rey is a legend. Anybody that gets to retire Mysterio is definitely going to hold a huge card in the role. However, I feel like Seth has done a great job with those mind games.
And not only that, but he wants to make a statement to the entire Raw locker room. If you are not with the Monday Night Messiah, this could potentially happen to you. So, I mean, the locker room has to be very careful with Seth Rollins because he already made a statement with Rey Mysterio.
And keep in mind, he's had this mentality since Survivor Series, ever since Raw lost with the clean slate at Survivor Series. And this is what brought Seth Rollins till this point. And now he's trying to prove, like Armando said, to the roster who he is and what he's capable of doing if you're not with him. All right, let's move on to Umberto and Alistair versus Murphy and Theory. This match basically happens because Alistair decides to attack Seth Rollins.
Yeah, and he's still trying to get the revenge over Rey Mysterio. But keep in mind, could Aleister Black be the next victim of Seth Rollins when he's trying to make a statement? I mean, who knows? He stuck out for Rey Mysterio, and now he's paying the price with Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy and Austin Theory.
But now, not only does Aleister have Rey on his side, maybe potentially even Dominic, now he has Humberto Carrillo by his side. So he's definitely not alone. Could they potentially match up to Seth and his disciples? I don't know. But the fact is that he is not alone. And I think that puts Aleister at an advantage.
It does. And not only that, but that also leads into Aleister and Humberto versus Austin Theory and Buddy Murphy. But we've seen an aggressive and a different Aleister Black. He is more motivated. He wants to get his hands on Seth Rollins so badly, even though he already beat him.
Yeah, and he's willing to go through anyone and anything to get retribution for Rey Mysterio. And I completely understand Aleister Black. And you did mention it. He is a changed man. We're seeing a completely different side of Aleister Black. And I think we are also seeing a different side of Humberto Carrillo. I think Humberto is now more fired up. He's finally finding a purpose as to why he is there and what he's doing.
Yeah, Buddy Murphy and Austin Theory are starting to click together. They're starting to look like a team. And I think Seth Rollins is doing a great job leading them to where they're at. And if they continue to go this way, we could potentially see them go for the Raw Tag Team Championships. But again, who knows? We'll see what happens.
I'm starting to like Murphy in Theory. I think there's a certain chemistry. There's a certain connection there. I think this was one of the teams that you look at and you're just like, I don't know if it could work, but it does. And they click super, super well. I think they're very dangerous competitors. And I think once Austin Theory is put to that test and once he's brought to that limit, I think we're finally going to see a completely different side of Theory.
Once he starts getting comfortable with Buddy Murphy and he breaks that shell, I think we're going to see one hell of a tag team right here. No doubt about it. And as they keep getting matches together, it's just going to continue to improve. And this is one team that you guys need to watch out for.
The real question here is, how many disciples does Seth Rollins want on his team? How many people and how far is he willing to go to get to what he wants?
I think he's willing to go as far as he can. If he could get the entire locker room to go by his beliefs, by his side, he's going to try to do it. But if he could recruit 2-3 million more people, he would do it.
I would not be surprised if Survivor Series this year, Raw becomes victorious because of the Monday Night Messiah and the Disciples.
And maybe, who knows, maybe that's his plan. Maybe he's trying to establish an ultimate team for next year's Survivor Series and be like, look, I picked the team and this is the Raw team and we took it to victory. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
We will definitely see. All right, let's move on to Christian. I'll keep this one very, very short for you guys as well. He basically comes out and he says, you know what, I'm happy for Edge's return. I'm happy that he's finally back. However, I don't believe he could beat Randy Orton in a singles one-on-one wrestling match.
Harsh words by Christian, but I see what Christian is trying to do with Edge. He is trying to motivate Edge and be like, look, man, yeah, you were gone for 9 years. And when you came back, you beat Randy Orton in a last man standing match. But I still believe that you could beat him in a regular match. And he's trying to get him fired up.
And Edge knows. He's like, you know what? I was gone for 9 years. Who was here for 9 years? Randy Orton. And what was Randy doing? He was evolving. He was getting better. He was getting to know the roster, getting to know everybody. Those 9 years were a huge advantage towards Randy Orton in this match. And Edge knows that. And I think that makes him uncomfortable in the sense of, like, he's not confident. He loses the confidence once he realizes who Randy Orton is and what he's been doing over the last 9 years.
Yeah, definitely Randy Orton has that momentum that he has had. He's been active for 9 years, and Edge, he's only had one match since his return. So he kind of doubts himself a little bit, but he still believes that he could do it. So we'll see what ends up happening on Sunday.
Yes, and we will get a prediction show out for you guys. So let us know in the comments below who you guys think is winning at Backlash. All right, let's move on to Apollo Crews. He comes out and he says he's really excited to defend the United States Championship at Backlash. And therefore, there will be a triple threat. And that triple threat is between Andrade versus Garza versus Kevin Owens.
Right from the beginning, Kevin Owens walks in with the disadvantage. Why? Because like you said, there's Garza and Andrade. That automatically tells you that they are going to they're gonna team up against Kevin Owens.
Yes, but Kevin Owens, knowing that, he has a strategy. What does he do? He attacks Andrade and Angel Garza before this match. Therefore, giving himself that little leverage, that little advantage, because he knows, you know what, if I go into this, not only do I have to worry about Selena, but I have both Andrade and Garza to worry about. So what does he do? He attacks them. He gives himself that advantage. But unfortunately, throughout this entire match, Andrade and Garza dominated. It basically was a two-on-one match.
Definitely. And you really can't do much about it yet. As soon as Kevin Owens try to come back, Andrade and Garza will automatically shut him down. But you got to give credit to Selena. It was a smart business. Why? Because she was guaranteed that one of members of her team was going to get a title opportunity.
And that's exactly how Selena Vega works. She knows how to get her competitors. She knows how to get her clients, I'm sorry, to the level that she wants them to be. And now, not only did she guarantee Andrade a championship opportunity, but I can pretty much guarantee you she has something up her sleeve to get Garza another title shot opportunity as well. Whether it's Andrade or whether it's Garza, she is going to get them to be champions. And her goal is to dethrone Apollo Crews.
Yeah, not only that, but I also see Andrade and Garza as tag team champions in the future. That's something I would really like to see. I think this team has really developed a lot, and it's going to be one of the tag teams. And not only that, but also having a triple threat match and being on the same team, on the same page, is going to cause conflict regardless of who you are. So we did see in moments that Garza was trying to pin Kevin Owens, and Andrade would go and be like, hey, no, it's my pin, and vice versa.
Well, that's when the sense of opportunity comes. And there's, I don't want to say jealousy, because that's not the case. It's more of like, I want the opportunity, and how badly do you really want it, and how far are you really willing to go? We saw the match pretty much end. Kevin Owens set up Angel Garza. He had it won. And what does Andrade do? Nope. He pushes them aside, and what does he do? He pins Angel Garza to get the victory over pretty much Kevin Owens.
And I don't blame him. Like you said, it's all about the opportunity, and when stakes are that high, hey, man, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get that opportunity, and that's what Andrade did. So that means we're going to get Andrade versus Apollo Crews at Backlash.
But Andrade being a champion again benefits Garza in a way, so I wouldn't be that upset if I were Garza. Yes, the opportunity was taken from him, but remember, Garza has Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega will find something for him. Zelina Vega will find opportunities for him, and therefore Garza won't lose but simply by losing this match. All right, MVP. He basically brings out Drew McIntyre and he tells him, you know what, I'm really confident that Bobby Lashley is going to beat you at Backlash. And he's trying to get inside of the head of Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, not only that, but Drew McIntyre trying to get some sort of revenge and trying to tell Bobby Lashley, look, you're not going to do the full Nelson as you did last week.
Yes. And therefore, moving into on to the next match, the Viking Raiders versus Bobby Lashley and MVP.
Right from the get-go, you could tell this was going to be a very brutal match. Not only that, because there was going to be a lot of power in the ring as well.
Yes, not only from Lashley, but from the Viking Raiders. I have to give credit where credit is due. I think Lashley partnering with MVP, whatever type of association they have, it doesn't matter. I think MVP has been doing a fantastic job keeping Bobby Lashley on track.
I like this Bobby Lashley. He is more focused. He is more determined. And he knows what he wants in his career right now. Like you said, him going and taking advice from MVP has really taken him to the next level. But one thing that I did notice throughout this match is that Bobby Lashley kept on focusing on Drew McIntyre. Yeah, but I think that was causing him the distraction and not be there 100% in the match.
You know what I also feel like? I do like this Bobby Lashley. I like what MVP is doing with him. I feel like MVP is actually there to tell him what his goals are and how far he wants to get, to give him that confidence. And I feel like Lana was a distraction for Bobby Lashley in every single way, shape, or form. I think his career-wise and everything, Lana was a distraction. Now that she is not around, she's around, but now that she's not in the ring, at ringside with him, what does he do? He's a lot more focused. He's winning matches. He has a title shot opportunity now. And what I'm afraid of is that Lana will show up trying to support Bobby Lashley and potentially cost him the championship at Backlash.
Yeah, and not only that, but also Bobby Lashley and MVP, they really look pretty solid as well throughout the match. So it looks like there's some type of connection well that's working for both of them.
Yes, and the Viking Raiders. I feel like the Viking Raiders weren't fully there. I think they're focused on the Street Profits. I think they've set their mind there. They want the tag team titles, and I don't blame them. And I feel like Street Profits have taken the Viking Raiders to their limits in a whole bunch of different ways. And I don't really think they were fully there, but they knew who their competition was.
Yeah, and they knew if they got a victory in this tag team match, they were going to impress the Street Profits even more and for the Street Profits to take them even more seriously.
Yes, and the Street Profits show up and they start a distraction, and I think that's what really was the game changer in this entire match. All right, let's move on to the main event, which is Charlotte Flair versus Asuka. A fantastic, fantastic match. Every single time these two women get inside of the ring, they 100% deliver.
I have to agree with you on that one 100%. Every time we've seen this match, we never get tired, right? Because like we said earlier, these women know how to push each other to the limit. They know each other so well that they're like, you know what, in order for you to beat me, it's going to take a lot and I'm not going to give up easily.
And right from the start of this match, both women are in a disadvantage. One, because they both pulled double duty. They both had a match at the beginning of the show. And on top of that, Asuka has to focus on the fact that she's never been able to beat Charlotte Flair. Imagine going into this match and saying, okay, yes, I'm facing Charlotte Flair. I've faced her lots and lots of times, but I've never been able to beat her. That's pressure, aside from being the Raw Women's Champion.
Yeah, and not only that, and also Charlotte Flair hasn't pinned Asuka. All the time she has defeated Asuka, she has beaten her via submission. So that's another thing that Charlotte, you know, she's going to want to do. And she's like, you know what, I have to beat Asuka and I have to pin her via pinfall.
And she knows that. Why? Because she knows that if she tries to beat her by pinfall, Asuka's going to keep kicking out. She knows that, and that comes from experience. So what does she do? She makes her tap out each and every single time. And I feel like Asuka is ready for it. She knows that's what Charlotte's strategy is. So what does she do? She tries to reverse it in every way that she can. But unfortunately, she comes out short.
And vice versa. Same thing with Charlotte. She knows that the moment Asuka puts that submission on her, it's pretty much over. So what does she do? She knows that she has to lock her arms together and try to avoid that submission move that Asuka has.
Yes. Every single time I see this match, I'm absolutely impressed. Sasha and Bayley were obviously ringside. I think at this point, they're trying to get inside the head of Charlotte Flair. Keep in mind, Charlotte did say, you know, celebrate the victory. Let yourself be happy for right now. I don't know. I could potentially see Charlotte teaming up with Asuka and maybe going for the tag titles. I don't know at this point. That would be a really huge problem, I think, but it'd also be a really huge advantage because they know each other so well. But I think the egos would be the biggest obstacle of that team.
Yeah, and not only that, I also see Charlotte Flair focusing on Bayley White because she has something that Charlotte probably wants, and what's that? The SmackDown Women's Championship as well. Keep in mind, Bayley defeated her for the Women's SmackDown Championship.
Yes, and according to Bayley, Charlotte's never been able to beat her. So that's a huge burden for Charlotte. And she's been working all three brands. So I 100% agree. Maybe she's focused on Bayley. Maybe that's what she was talking about. Maybe that's what she wants. Who knows? We will find out. But that's all we have for you guys on this episode of Wrestling with Siblings. Remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Become a part of the siblings today. And for those of you that do not know what WWS stands for, Armando, what does WWS stand for?
Wrestling with Siblings. Thank you guys so much. I'll see you guys next.